Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. It's great to see you, church. Are you blessed? Amen. His presence is here. I know it's even hard to speak sometimes when his presence is here so strongly today. Amen. Love you. Amen. God bless you. Let's find our seats again. Just got a few announcements. As you can see, I'm by myself today. I'm running solo. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Find your seat, church. And I just have two announcements. First, today, this afternoon, we have our nursing home ministry at the Syracuse Homes. Amen. Who's coming today? Amen. I hope to see more hands. Meet me here at 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock in the parking lot. We leave promptly at 2, and we'll go together as a caravan of cars to the nursing home. It's been a blessing, church. I got to tell you, it's a blessing to bless people, isn't it? It's a blessing to love on people that are so desperate for love. It's just a beautiful, beautiful experience. So I encourage you to come on out at 2 o'clock. Whatever plans you had, think about possibly changing them. Amen? Hallelujah. We do it once a month. It's not very taxing, but it's a blessing. Amen? Amen. It's great to see you, church. One other announcement is we've been having some awesome prayer meetings on Monday nights. Unfortunately, tomorrow night I have to cancel because I've got too much happening in the next couple days. So Monday is canceled this Monday, but we will resume again the following Monday. Amen? Amen. It's good to see all of you. Obviously, we have several people missing and people are absent, but it's a beautiful fall day, isn't it? It's glorious. Amen. And it's even better right in here with the house of God, with the people of God. Amen. Well, we're going to take our offering. Thank you for our brothers for coming forward. And amen. Worship the Lord with our giving, with our tithes and our offerings. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We just worship you and continue to worship you with our offerings right now, Father. And we thank you that your house will be filled. I thank you, God, that you've promised when we're faithful to tithe and to bring our offerings, that you have promised to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that we cannot contain. So, Father God, we believe for each family represented here, each bank account represented, that as they give faithfully, God, that you are opening up the windows of heaven. Oh God, we declare it. We speak it over our church. We thank you that every need is met according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And we thank you as we give today with joy, with a cheerful heart, that you will bless us and you will just overtake us in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Can I get some light up here, guys? It's a little dark, like right up here. Turn on one of those. Actually, it's more toward the middle. You'll see it. Yep, that's great. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, BJ. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Isn't the worship team an incredible ministry? Amen. I'll tell you, church, we are blessed. We are blessed. We are blessed. Amen. And I just hope that you pray for us. Pray for us. You know, everything that happens in the service is through prayer. Amen. It's by design. Amen. I just want you to be aware of that, church. We are a praying church. And maybe for a while we got away from that, but we are praying now, and God is moving. Hallelujah. I'll tell you. Amen. So I know that I don't go by the numbers that I see. No. I don't go by the numbers. I just go by the presence of the Lord. Amen. Amen. I go by the presence, and he is definitely here. Absolutely. He's building his army brick by brick like that. He's building it up. Amen. And sure enough, others will see. Others will receive. Others will be thirsty. Others will be hungry. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, do we have any young people today? Just one. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Brother Polly. Amen. We're praying for more young people. Amen. Yes, we are. We're believing God for every need to be met and for us to fulfill our purpose. And actually, today, two things before I start the word that God gave me for today. But I just wanted to acknowledge that today is the one-year anniversary of my ordination as a pastor in this church. So I think it's significant that I'm standing here today preaching, and it was a year ago that I was right here in a chair facing Pastor Phil and him charging me as a pastor. So I can't believe it's gone by that fast. But when you're busy doing the work of the Lord, when you're in the will of God, it's easy. It's so easy. As a matter of fact, a friend of mine who's also a minister, we've ministered together for years, Patty Bullock, and she said she came for that service, and she told me that the next service that we did together, she said, I see it already, Priscilla. She says, I see it's easier. It's easier. That's right. That's what happens. When God anoints you, when God calls you, when God separates you and moves you out, it gets easier, not harder. The hard stuff is believing right before that. That's the hard stuff. The hard stuff is to wait for the right time. That's the hard stuff. The easy stuff is to just, when he says it's time, bang, you just walk and you go. Amen. I hope you understand what I'm talking about. Some of you do. I see you acknowledging it. Amen. So, praise God. 1 year ago, I was ordained an assistant pastor in this church. And so I thank Pastor Phil for the privilege and the honor. And I thank you for receiving me as you have. Amen. I got to tell you, church, you have to receive your ministers. You do. If you don't receive them, you're not going to get what God wants you to get from the ministers, his leaders. So I just wanted to share that with you. You have to receive the gifts, the callings, the people that God has placed in your life, because they're there by design. They're there because there's something that they have that you need. And if you are not connected, which is what my message is about today, you will fail to receive what God has for you. And I don't want to fail. Do you? I'm sure you don't. That's why you're here. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Do we have that, those slides? Yep. Okay. Amen. So the message that I'm sharing with you today, which I prayed, I asked the Lord to bring the right people to hear this message. Because the Lord gave me this message over a month ago. And it's interesting. I didn't know when I was going to preach it. But today is the day. Amen. He gave me the message. And it's just, it's stirring in my heart. And I hope you are blessed by it. And I hope you receive what God wants us to receive. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You know, it's interesting. You can tell when the Lord wants something to be established in his people. Because, see, he prepares the way. And Pastor, in the last several weeks, has been preparing the way for this message. He's been talking about purpose. First, he talked about walking in your purpose and finding your purpose. And then last week, he preached a scary message about what happens when you miss the purpose of God and how dangerous that is. See? So today, I'm going to speak to you about being planted. Being planted. That's it right there. Hallelujah. And I want to read this scripture right here. It's out of Psalm 92. This is our text. Psalm 92, verses 12 through 14. It says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like the cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age, and they will stay fresh and green. Hallelujah. Father, thank you today for this message, and thank you for the people of God. And I pray, Lord, that you will use me as you need. And Father, let your word penetrate deeply our hearts, and let your word sanctify us and bring truth where truth is needed, and help the people to receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Being planted, that's what I'm talking about today, church. And I've been to Israel, and in Israel there's all these palm trees everywhere. So that's interesting, you know, you have to think of the context of the scripture. And, you know, David wrote this psalm, and this is in the land of Judea. And so he's watching all these beautiful palm trees. So the Lord's given him this word, and he's saying that the righteous flourish like the palm tree. Right? And I did a little study about palm trees, just not knowing much about them, even though I'm from Puerto Rico and there's plenty of them there. I just noticed that the root system of a palm tree is not deep, and yet all these winds come from the ocean, and, you know, it's incredible how they stay standing, and they're so tall, right? And some of them bend and whatnot, but it's interesting to note that the way that the strength of the palm tree is in its network of root system, and it's like an interconnected system that connects with the other palm trees nearby. So that's how it gets its strength, not from deepness. It's more shallow, but it interconnects with the other palm trees. And that's how it stays connected and strong with these amazing winds that it hits. So think about that. See how those roots are growing, not necessarily deep, but they are strong. And they're interconnecting with others to stay strong in the midst of the wind. Amen? And so it says here that it's planted in the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord. That's where they flourish. In the courts of our God. The house of the Lord, the courts of our God, that's a reference. Well, in the Old Testament, it's a reference to a building. But in the New Testament, it's a reference to the believer, the body. We're the temple, right? And his house is right here. His house is right here. Hallelujah. And when we get together, his house gets bigger. Your house and my house together. Amen? Amen. That's that palm tree with the interconnected root system. Yeah? Your little roots grow with my little roots, and interconnected, the house of the Lord is deeper and stronger, and more vitality is coming from it. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope you get that picture in your heart, believer. Notice what it says. It says they bear fruit in old age. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're not done. No matter what age you're at, if you're still breathing and you're still living, you're not done. I'm talking in the spiritual sense. You know, we have this mentality in our culture that, you know, you retire at a certain age, right? Move to Florida if you're up here. Believer, that's not you. I'm not, you know, going to knock anybody that's done that. I'm not going to judge anybody. But believer, you don't go anywhere unless the Lord tells you to. That's what this message is about. You stay planted where God has placed you. If he tells you to move, then you move. Otherwise, you better stay planted. Well, I know that. that hits hard some people. I know some people are going to look at me and say, Pastor Priscilla, did you have to say that? Well, I'm just following the Holy Ghost. I'm following the Holy Spirit. But I got to tell you, church, that our destiny is not to get to a certain age, retire with our pension, and move to Florida. That is not the will of God for his people. Because we are not on the man's system. We're not part of the world system. Right? That's outside of us. We are on God's system. Amen? That's it. We're on his system. He's the boss. He's the one that tells you what you do, where you go, who you see. Amen? That's what you signed up for. Amen. You're in the army. Except not Uncle Sam's army. You're in the army of the Lord. Amen. And he has a purpose for you. It doesn't matter how old you are. Oh, I tell you. I don't know why I'm stuck on this, but this is one of the areas that I've been thinking a lot about since I took an early retirement. And I'm in my 50s, and many people here are in their 50s and beyond. And, you know, we keep thinking, oh, I'm too old to do this. I'm too old to do that. I can't do this anymore. Let somebody else do it. Let the younger people do it. Are you sure that's what God wants for you to do? He's not asking you to lay down and just disappear at your age. No. Many times when you get into your older age and you have less work to do, it's even better because you can do more work for God. Amen? You can do more for his kingdom. You can do more. You can get back to the disciplines that you neglected because of work and family and raising children and all these things that we busy our lives with. And they're all good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not criticizing. God bless you with a family, bless you with children, husband, spouse, whatever it is. Stay faithful to what God has given you. Amen. But there are seasons. There are changes. Amen. And so when the kids go out, they're already grown up. They got their own things. And now you're left by yourself or you're left with your spouse and you got plenty of time on your hands. That's not the time to slack off. Not in the kingdom of God. See? Because now God can do more with you. Maybe more than you thought. Amen. We have to be open to these things, church. I guess that's why the Lord put that in my heart to share with you. Now, there's three questions today. There are three questions that I want to use this text to bring to you. So being planted in the house of the Lord and flourishing in the courts of our God so that we continue to bring nourishment to the other roots connected to us. See? You got to stay sharp. You got to stay fruitful. And there's no other way to stay fruitful but to be connected to the house, connected to the place, connected to the people that God has placed you with. Amen? So the first question I have for you is, what are you connected to? What? Every Christian is part of the body of Christ. See, there's a lot of people that, well, I don't need to go to church. I don't need people. I don't need to be going. I can go to any church I want. I can go anywhere. You can. But is it the will of God for you? See, that's what I want to challenge you today. Because we are members of the body. And in 1 Corinthians 12, there's a specific thing about that that I'm going to show you in a minute. But the fact is, we're parts of a body, and the head is Jesus Christ. See? So a hand or a finger, if you're a hand or a finger, or if you're a wrist or you're a feet or you're whatever part, you know, these are, you know, metaphors, I guess you could say, or examples of what we are in his body. Whatever part you play, whatever function you have, you can't do it by yourself. You have to be connected. A finger isn't going to run around on its own and do its own thing. Some people try, but will it be effective? No. It has to stay connected to the hand, right, the wrist, and all starting with the head. See? That's it. That's it. So we are part of a big body. It's the universal body of Christ. And yet, there is a local place that we're to be part of. Okay? Notice it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, it says, we're members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus, the chief cornerstone. See? So here, there's this picture of us being part of God's house. See? And in that scripture in Psalm, it said, planted in the house of the Lord. And see, we are members of God's household. And the foundation is the apostles, the prophets that went before us. And Jesus is the chief. He's the chief shepherd. He's the head. And he's the chief cornerstone. 1 Corinthians 12, I mentioned that. In 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about all these different gifts. Notice it says in verse 4 through 7. 4 through 7. It says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. That means that we're designed, each of us has received different function type gifts or different types of services or different types of workings, see? And today we experience some in the church. We heard prophetic words today, and there's people that have those gifts, prophetic gifts, and that's awesome. That's tremendous. And we thank God for the gifts that he's given in the church. But others have gifts of service. There's things they're supposed to do for God. And then there's other people that have supernatural workings, miracles, healings, right? So these are all in this scripture right here mentioned. Gifts, service, and workings. So there's three different types, shall we say, of giftings that the Spirit gives. And we each have our place, and we should each have some of this already in operation in us. Amen. We should. Hallelujah. And thank God this is a Pentecostal church. Hallelujah. Because we believe in these gifts. We don't believe they went away. No, they're still here, and they're meant to be here until Jesus comes back to get us. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. That excites me. Amen. That does. His gifts are for us to build us up because we need each other's giftings. It's what builds us up. It's what grows us up. Amen? Hallelujah. Notice it says here, it's for the common good. The common good. Amen. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your gifts. Amen. So, amen. So here's the thing. When you read those scriptures, the one in Ephesians, the one in 1 Corinthians, here's what I want you to understand. You cannot receive the full benefit of the gifts and the functions and the workings and the service if you're not connected. This is about the connection that we're supposed to each have to the body of Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. There is a need to be planted, to be connected. And so my question to you at the beginning was, what are you connected to? What are you connected to? So all Christians are members of God's household. But that doesn't mean that all Christians are planted. See? There's God's household, and then there's the Lord's house. There's God's household, the universal church of Jesus Christ all over the world. And then there's the Lord's house right here. The Lord's house. Do you see that? There's God's household. The Catholics say the Catholic Church. Actually, the word Catholic means universal, okay? We just won't use the word Roman, but the universal church of Jesus Christ all over the planet. And then there's the Lord's house, which is this right here. We are the Lord's house. And we need to stay planted, connected to each other. This is the way I want you to think of it. I want you to notice these are two separate ideas. And the Lord gave me this example. Think of the Queen of England. I was watching some program on TV the other day, and it was great. It was a documentary about the Queen of England. And they show you all the stuff this elderly lady does. It's incredible. I mean, she's got thousands of people in her service that set up all kinds of things, events, dignitaries, blah, blah, blah. I mean, all kinds of stuff that has to be done because she's the queen, right? And so this is the idea I want to bring to you. The queen has thousands of staff members that are part of her household. See? And she's got many houses, but then she has a main residence. It's called Buckingham Palace. That's where she actually lives, right? But she's got a myriad of all these buildings and all this stuff that she's got charge over. And she's got all these people that work in all these buildings and are part of her household. But Buckingham Palace is her house. And the only people that live there are her family, her immediate family, her sons and their spouses, right? And her husband, who's still alive. That's it. That's all who live. Of course, they have staff that serve them there. But what I'm saying, as far as staying overnight, as far as being there, okay? That's her house. And only the only people that actually can call that their residence is her immediate family. So that's what I want you to see. I want you to see this idea that we are a part of God's household, but yes, here, we are the Lord's house, just like the queen has her residence, and yet, amen, amen, brother, that's right. And you ought to be excited about that, that you are part of the Lord's house right here. Al, you're part of me, and I'm part of you, brother. Mike, you're part of me, and I'm part of you, amen. Rick, I'm part of me, you're part of me, and I'm part of you, amen. Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters, you are part of me, and I'm part of you. I want you to get this picture in your heart. Because there's strength in our connection. There's strength. There's power in our connection. We have to value our connection. We have to honor it and be committed to it. Amen? So that brings me to the next question. The next question is, who are you connected to? Who are you connected to? Well, we already set up a few scriptures for you in Ephesians 2 and in 1 Corinthians. Every believer should be connected to a local church, or you can say a local house of the Lord. Okay? Every believer should be connected. You should not be wandering around from one house to the next. Where do you live? I live on 5999 Smith Road. Where do you live? You have an address. Amen. That's it. But what I'm saying is spiritually, this is where we live. Amen. So I'm trying to get you this image. Where do you live? Who is your house? Or, right? It's this one right here. This is where we are connected. This is our house of the Lord. And the Lord has strategically placed local churches where the gifts of God are dispersed and where true purpose is revealed. I got to tell you, church, I've been part of several churches. Not that many, though. I'm not one of these people that moves around a lot. I'll talk to you about that in a few minutes. But what I'm trying to say to you is this. I've had the privilege of being part of several local churches. And the amazing thing about being part of a local church is that through constant use and interaction and ministry one toward the other. That's how we discover our gifts. That's how we discover our purpose. Just like Pastor was preaching about knowing your purpose and fulfilling your purpose. You won't discover it if you're going from church to church, house to house, and just eating a little bit here, grazing like the cows. Grazing here, grazing there, grazing. No. Make up your mind. Where is God's house for you? And stay connected there. Now, the problem that we have in our culture right now is that we live in this age of information. There's so much information. I can get a message in 30 seconds on my cell phone, right? I can get I go to YouTube, I can find any preaching, any kind of message. I can go to all these churches that stream their services. You know what? That's okay. You can do that in the privacy of your own home, but you should be here when the doors are open. This is your connection. This is your feeding trough. This is the house of the Lord. And you should be here giving and receiving. Amen? Amen. So, you know, I know we live in this age of, wow, you know, and back in the old days before the internet, you know, we used to go from services. Oh, yeah, there's a revival going on over there. Okay, so I'm going to go. And then there's this going on over there. And we'd be running from place to place, house to house, right? And you know what? Sometimes that's needed. Sometimes we need something different, and that's okay. The Lord will show you. But always come back to your house. Always stay connected to your house. Who are you connected to? See? So, because you're not going to understand your gifts by running around. You're not going to understand. See, and I got to tell you, this is a challenge for a person like myself. And I'm speaking to my fellow musicians now. Fellow musicians, listen. People with musician gifts, they get called upon at all times to serve in all different places. And you know what? You need to pray about this. Because you ought to reserve the best and the most of your time for your own house. Mm-hmm. Yes, I know this might be controversial for some people. But I got to tell you, church, we've got to use the best part of our gifts right here. If I got left over and I'm able to bless somebody else and I feel the Lord releasing me to do something somewhere else, then so be it. I will do that. But and now that I'm older in the Lord and more mature, I say no a lot more, thank God. I used to be running around with my head chopped off. Literally. Back in the day, in the 80s, I was going, this one need this, this one needs that, this one's calling me up, this one says, I need you to play, Priscilla, I need you to do this, I need you to lead worship, I need you to do that. And I'd be running. And by the time Sunday came along, I was wore out. In my own house, I was wore out. I didn't have the fullness there for me to give and impart to my own house. You see what I'm trying to tell you? So I just want to share this with you, especially people that have, like musicians, but there's others. You know, there's other people that have giftings of leadership and other types of demands that are placed upon your schedule because you know stuff, because you're gifted to do things. And you know what? That's awesome. But ask the Lord what your priority needs to be. I remember years ago, I got a word from one of my former pastors, a prophetic word about my ministry. And he said, Priscilla, there's going to be a time in your life where you're going to be in such demand that you're going to have to ask God what to accept and say yes to and what not to. And the prophet continued and said, you know, there's some people that have these strong spirits. And with this strong spirit, they're going to try to manipulate you. So be careful. And it was a warning. See? Because some people are very determined and very persuasive. And because, you know, we want to be good servants, right? We just give in and say yes. So the Lord was warning me and saying, be careful. Stick to the people. people and the ones that I've connected you to, and the other ones say thank you, but no thanks. And that's what I've been doing. And so far, the Lord has blessed me. And I'm not worn out. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm not worn out. Thank God. Amen. So, I want to give you an example about this. Through service in your local church, in your house, you discover your passions and your callings that lead you to your higher purpose. It happens in the local church. And the example I'm going to give you is Paul. Paul the Apostle, or as he was earlier called, Saul. Okay? Saul got knocked off the horse and met Jesus, just like that, transformed through direct encounter with God, right? But he didn't know what his purpose was, not yet. But if you look in Acts 9, verses 15 and 16, which I'm not going to read, but you can look at it, he's been given instructions. He said when he got knocked off the horse and he was blind, the Lord said, the only thing the Lord said to him was, go see Ananias. Actually, no. Though he said, go to this house and there wait for my next instruction. So then God starts speaking to his servant Ananias. And God's saying to him, you better go over there because I need you to go minister to this man named Saul. And of course, you know the story if you know the book of Acts. But you know that he was afraid. He at first said no to God, and God had to convince him and tell him, this is from me. You better go over there because you got to lay hands on him so that he can see and that he can understand his future. So in that moment, Ananias obeys and he goes and lays hands on Saul. He's deadly afraid of him because Saul had been killing all the Christians, right? So he lays hands on, Ananias lays hands on Saul and he receives his sight. And then there's a prophetic word that comes. And the Lord says, and that's when Saul first discovers his purpose. And in that prophetic word, the Lord says, I have called you to the Gentiles, and you're going to suffer. Wow. See? But he didn't know. At first, he didn't know. It was through the prophet, through the prophetic word, that he learned his purpose. Okay. So here's the thing. He learned his purpose probably within the first week of getting saved. But he couldn't jump into his purpose right away. There's a timing. There's a process. There's a preparation. And it actually took up to 14 years, if you study the scripture, to find out when he actually first stepped into his purpose. It took him about 14 years of building himself up. Learning who the Lord Jesus Christ is and understanding what he was supposed to do with all that. And notice, this is the point when he actually takes his first step. Acts 13. Take a look. Acts 13. I think I have that scripture. Acts 13, 1 through 3. It says, now in the church at Antioch. Well, there you go. There's the house he was in. He was associated with a specific house. It was the church at Antioch. There were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. There he is. While they're worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. This was the moment in which that prophetic word spoken 14 years earlier was first fulfilled. Acts 13. Okay? This is it. 14 years later. They're praying. They're worshiping God. They're seeking the Lord because I'm sure they had a sense in their spirit. It's coming. Just like you have a sense in your spirit when God wants to do something through you. When God wants to take you to the next level. You have a sense in your spirit already. He doesn't just drop it on you. No, you got warnings. You got notices. You got checks in the mail that come. Oh, hallelujah. He doesn't just spring it on you. No, you get warning after warning. You get notices, and then disconnect. Bang, right into the next phase. Hallelujah. He's amazing how he does things. So, I brought this up as an example to you. Paul was in the house of Antioch. He was planted there for 14 years, receiving ministry, growing in the word of the Lord, using his gifts. Obviously, he was an orator, teaching people, getting scriptural revelation, all that stuff that's spoken of in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Romans, and I mean, well, he wrote 27 books of the New Testament. So imagine all the stuff he got, right? Right? He got lots of stuff from the Holy Spirit. So who are you connected to? You need to be connected to your house. And you need to stay planted there. Because that is what God's will is for you. To stay planted and connected to the house that God has called you. And you know what? I asked the Lord today, well, this week as I was preparing this message and finalizing it, I said, Lord, bring the people to the service that need to hear this message. Because not everybody can receive this message, unfortunately. Some people will not receive it. They're going to be arguing. I'm talking and they're arguing right now. But that's not you. That's why you're here. Because you know this is your house. Because you know you're supposed to be planted here. And this is a confirmation to you that it's time to recognize that this is the place you're going to grow and be fruitful into your ripe old age. This is the place. This is where God's anointing is for you. And you are strategically placed here for such a time as this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Amen. And I got one more thing to say about this. Church attendance is not the same as being planted. See, there's people that come to church every week, but they're never plugged in. They're never involved. They're never, when the pastor says, I need this. When the pastor says, we're doing this. I feel the Lord said we got to do this. Pastor can't count on you. That's the kind of people I'm talking about. People that you see them in church, they're excited to be in church on Sunday, but that's all it is to them. It's just this, I'm a churchgoer. But that's not the will of God for the believer. We're not just churchgoers, right? We're a body. I need your supply. You need mine. This is how we grow. We don't grow by, you know, we're not little bees getting honey here and honey there and honey there and honey there. And then we buzz in, you know, like the bees, right? No, we're not bees. We're sheep. We need a shepherd. We need correction. We need guidance with the staff and bring us back. When I call or when a pastor in this church calls you, it's because we care. It's because we love. And that's our job, is to love and care for the sheep. It's our job to teach. It's our job to encourage. It's our job to pray. It's our job to help. That's why we're here. And it's your job to receive the ministers of God. It's your job to obey and do the tough stuff. When the pastor says, I need you to give me so much time out of your schedule for this and this and this purpose, then do it. Make the decision, I'm going to do what the pastor says. Pastor says he needs this. I'm going to do it. Yes, he can count on me. Amen? Is that you? I sure hope so. Amen. So, church attendance is not the same as being planted. Hallelujah. Because people that just attend church, they're the first ones. They usually sit in the back of the church. No disrespect to anybody in the back of the church. But they usually sit in the back of the church, and they're the first ones when the pastor says the last amen, bam, they're just beaming right out that door. No time to say nothing to nobody. They got their agenda. Oh, let's see, it's Sunday. I got to go cook my meal. I got to go watch the game. I got to go do this, right? Because they got their own plans. person that attends church, but that is not the Christian who is planted. A Christian who is planted, when the service ends, it's not done, okay? Because there is ministry. There is loving one another. There is going up to somebody that you haven't seen in a while and saying, hey, brother and sister, how you doing? I've missed you. You know what? Can I pray for you about something? Is there something that you need? That is a person planted. That is a Christian who is connected to the root system in the house of the Lord. Don't be that person that runs out the door. Don't be that person that never says boo to anybody and just walks in and walks out. Because that is not the will of God. The will of God is for you to grow and stay green and keep being fruitful. And you can't do that if you're that kind of person that just walks away and never interacts and never shows concern or care for your brother and sister. Amen. And I hope you're not discouraged in any way what I'm saying. I'm not attacking anybody. Nope, I'm speaking by the Spirit, and I'm just going to keep going. Hallelujah. I'm speaking by the Spirit because God wants to confirm, and he wants to correct if need be. And so I'm just going to keep going. But I just want you to know, my brother and sister, what I'm saying is because the Lord loves you, and he wants you to be fruitful and stay fruitful. Amen? He does. So here's our last. Oh, I do want to say this one thing. It's about leaving a church, okay? There is no perfect church. There is none because we are imperfect people. From the pastor on down, we're just human beings and we make mistakes. So please do not be upset at your pastors when they don't do things a certain way that you expected. Please do not take offense. Please, you know, and you know, I've been there. I know. I've been through various things in my life as a believer connected to a church. People will disappoint and people will offend you. It will happen. It doesn't mean that it was meant to happen. It just happens. We use our mouth incorrectly or we misinterpret things. Okay? That's very common. But yet God has called us to unity. You see, the devil is the one that wants to take that offense and blow it up on you. It's the devil that wants you to be disconnected. He wants you to walk out of the church. He wants you to get angry and leave because then he succeeded. He got you away from your root system. He got you away from that place of nourishment and anointing. So, believer, be aware of the devil's tactics. Never, ever leave a church because you are offended at people. Never. What are we supposed to do? Go make it right. And more than once. I mean, how many times are we supposed to forgive people? 7 times 70 and... Exactly. You haven't arrived and neither have I. None of us have. Your pastor has not. Amen? That's it. So what I'm saying to you is this. Never leave a church because of offense. Ever. That is not a reason to leave a church. Now, there are a couple reasons why the Lord may move you to a different house. Okay? And I'm going to show you this. First, hopefully it didn't happen to you, but first, if the leadership or the pastor is doing unbiblical things, then you should leave. Okay? That's one big one. If there's unbiblical, unscriptural things being done through the leadership or the pastor directly, then be forewarned, there's something wrong. Because if the head's rotten, the rest of it's going to be rotten too. Okay? Number two. And only leave if God is moving you. And he doesn't just cut you off and say, go find some other church. No, no, no. God already told you. You're supposed to go and do this. You're supposed to go and be connected here for the next thing that he has for you. So if God shows you that you're to move to another location, move to another house, he will show you, okay? And if he shows you to do this, please do not leave out the back door. That is disrespectful to God. And it's disrespectful to your body. Oh, wow. We don't leave out the back door. No, no. We make an appointment with the pastor. And we explain. I got to tell you this. I know I'm looking at the time. And I know, but I got to share this with you. I had to leave a church once, not because I was upset. It's because God moved me, and I knew that he was moving me to a different church. So I was a leader in this church that I was leaving. I was a worship minister there. And I was afraid to tell the pastor that the Lord was moving me. But this is how I prayed. The Lord showed me. I said, Lord, show the pastor. I'm going to make the appointment. Show the pastor that I'm supposed to leave. So sure enough, I made the appointment. And when it came time for me to meet with the pastor, he said, I know why you're here. I said, really? He said, yep. My wife had a dream. His wife had a prophetic ministry. He said, my wife had a dream. And in the dream, she said, the Lord told her that you were leaving. Don't think that your God doesn't know about everything. Don't ever think. He knows, and he has planned your life to the most extreme detail. He has planned your life. So the conversation was very easy because the Holy Ghost had already revealed to the pastor as I prayed and asked God that I was supposed to go. So he blessed me and let me go. And that is how you leave a church. And I'm not saying that for you to look at me. No, I'm just telling you, I've lived through enough stuff. I know how people get hurt. I know how believers talk about others and disrespect their pastors. And I'm telling you, church, we need to honor our pastors. We need to honor our fellow believers, and we never leave out the back door, ever. If God tells you to leave, then you be man or woman enough to make an appointment with the pastor and give the pastor a chance to hear what God is teaching you. And you know what? He might correct you, and you need to be willing to hear the correction. But if the pastor is wrong, God will show him. You got to pray for your pastor. You got to pray. Okay? Because there are some people that miss it, you know, because they hang on to you too much. You know, they think, oh, that sheep is mine. Yeah, that sheep is mine. You know what? I served one pastor once. And that was his attitude. You're my sheep. I'm going to let you go over there, but you can do this over there, but you're my sheep. And don't let that pastor talk to you directly. He's got to go through me. That was the kind of control that he had. And the Lord showed me that was a problem this pastor had. But you know what? I was submitted to him. That was my church. And I was just borrowed to help this church. And so I had to agree. I had to do what he said because he was my pastor. Until the Lord moved me on to a different pastor, a different church, I had to submit to that. And sometimes you have to submit to certain things that you don't like and may seem wrong to you. Oh, I've been to, oh, wow. I was in a church once where they didn't believe in women ministers. And you see, I've known my call from day one. I've known it. Even though I was ordained a year ago, okay? But you see, these, you know, this minister, he was from the old days. He's from the old school where women weren't allowed to preach, where women weren't allowed to do things. And he would tell me stuff like, well, you can't lead worship on a Sunday morning. Why is that? Oh, because, you know, he had his reasons. But it was all, you know, not biblical. Okay? Sometimes you're going to be confronted with things like this. But you know what you do? You keep your mouth closed and you bring it to the Lord. And he will fight for you, and he will show the pastor. He will show the pastor. Sometimes the Lord allows you to go through things like this because he's refining you like fire. You got to go through the fire. You got to experience challenge. That's how we grow. That's how we learn to love people. You know, the pastor doesn't have it all right all the time. He's a man or a woman. Make mistakes. Human. They don't get it right all the time. So you got to pray for them. But if the Lord has connected you to that pastor and that home, that house, you better stay connected until he releases you and moves you to a different house. Amen? Last thing I want to share with you is, how strong is your connection? This is a question of loyalty, my church. This is a question of loyalty, and I alluded to this earlier. A question of loyalty. You should be loyal to your house first. And I already alluded to that earlier about people that have different gifts that are in demand and people calling them and asking you to do stuff. And your loyalty should be to your house. It's a question of loyalty. How strong is your connection? Okay? You show that you're loyal by serving your church, by being faithful in the small things, and by respecting your leaders. And I know this has gone on a little long, and I apologize, but I got to tell you, I got to show you these slides that I put up. Show the next slide, brother. I'm going to show you areas of service that you need to consider, depending on your gifts. Okay? If your spiritual gift is teaching, we need you to teach right here. We need you to teach children's church. We need you to teach in the nursery or start your own teaching group. Okay? Teach a class or disciple somebody. Okay? I'm doing that right now. Right now? That's it. The Lord will bring people to you. Every job I've been at, in the secular world, God has brought people to me that I'm supposed to teach because I'm a teacher. And I don't mean in the natural sense. I mean in the spiritual sense. I'm a teacher. So the Lord's always going to bring people to you. If you're a teacher, there's going to be plenty of people to teach. Okay? You could do it one-on-one over coffee. You could do, you know, you could get together once a week. Amen? And the Lord will show you. The Lord will use your gifts. It doesn't have to be here in the church, but your church does need you. Right now, we need people that will be teachers of children, of youth, nursery workers. We need you, okay? Show the next slide, brother. If your gift is mercy, okay, these are things you can do. You can get involved in what we're doing today, the nursing home ministry. That's a mercy gift, having compassion on the weak, okay? Having compassion on elderly people that need help, okay? You can volunteer. Work with the homeless people. You can volunteer for the Vera House. You can volunteer for Meals on Wheels. There's so many things you can do to use your gift of mercy, okay? Or you can work with immigrants. There's plenty of them here in Syracuse area. Amen. Show the next slide, brother. If you have the gift of service, there's lots of things that you could do, okay? You could become a greeter. And thank you for those that are already greeting and doing that. Taking it upon yourself. You could do hospitality. Make coffee. Make food for people. People that are sick that need help at home. Okay, you could clean the church. Or you can help clean somebody else's house. Okay, you can offer to babysit. Maybe you'd offer to babysit pastor's kid. Okay, or babysit somebody else's kid in the house. Maybe you could repair something. There's plenty of things in the building that need fixing. We need brothers and sisters that know how to fix stuff. Amen? Maybe you could send a care package to missionaries. or students. I'm thinking of Sherry. She's away at school. I'm sure she'd be blessed if she got a care package from somebody in the church. You know, hey, I'm sending you this package to bless you because you're his child, and we love you. Amen. What a blessing that would be, huh? Or you can go ask the pastor and find out what he needs, because I know he needs stuff. There's lots of things that he needs. So you do that. If your gift is evangelism, you can go out and meet people. Okay, maybe you go out to coffee every day, and that's an easy place to just go meet people. Or maybe, this is what I did, I went on missions trips every few years. When I had a lot of money, I did that. I had five different mission trips that I went to. I went to Spain, I went to Paraguay, I went to Ecuador, I went to all the Spanish-speaking countries. Why? Because I speak Spanish. Yes, it was awesome. Go on a missions trip. You should, even if it's for a couple weeks. Preach on the streets if you're an evangelist. Go to the rescue mission. I used to do that too. I used to go to the rescue mission once a month, and I used to lead the worship there, and I used to preach at the rescue mission. Or maybe the prisons. Some people have that in their heart to minister to the prisoners. Or go to the hospitals and pray for the sick. And then there's a couple more. The gift of encouragement. If you are an encourager, you can prepare meals, invite people over to your house to encourage them. You can visit people who need encouragement, and you can make phone calls and write letters. And there's some people in this church that have done that for me. They have written letters to me. They have given me cards to encourage me. And I got to tell you, my brother and sister, what a blessing that is to receive a card, to receive a gift, to receive just an acknowledgement of your ministry. Right, Brother James? Pastor James? It's an encouragement. It just blesses people. If you have the gift of giving, pay someone's bills. Give away your valuables. I do that a lot. I give away stuff in my closet that I'm not using. I give it to people that I know that need it. Donate your time. Preferably somebody right here in the church that needs help. And give special offerings as the Lord leads you. Okay, and here's the last one, the gift of leadership. Leaders organize things. That's what they're known for. So organize something here. We need all kinds of stuff in this church. There's many areas. Volunteer in the sound ministry or the media ministry. Okay, we have people already doing, but I'm sure they could use help. Lead a men's group. Lead a youth group. Lead a women's group. Lead a college and career group. If you're called to leadership, lead. Talk to the pastor about areas that you need, that you feel led to work in. Amen? That's my message, church. Amen? So let's stand up. I know the Lord has ministered today this word. I just know it. I feel it in my spirit. And I know that he wants to cement some things in your heart about your connection to this house. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, today I just thank you for these precious people of God. I thank you, God, that you brought them here for such a time to hear this message. And Father, I pray right now that you will encourage their hearts, that you will complete the work that you've begun in them, that you will stir them up so that they are fully planted in this house. The ones that you have called to this house, that you fully plant them, that you encourage them to serve in this house, which is where you've planted them, to fully give of themselves and of their time. And Father, we thank you for our pastor, Pastor Phil, Pastor Jessica. We thank you for our pastor. We thank you that you've blessed us with them. And we thank you that you've called us to this house to be a blessing to this world and to extend your kingdom right here in Central New York. So go with us now today and let the people of God meditate on your word and let it bear fruit in their spirit and let them inquire of you what you have for them. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. We worship you. We adore you, Lord. Amen. Go with the Lord, church. Meet me at 2:00 if you're going to the nursing home. I'm here if you need prayer. And amen. Have a great week. And we'll see you next Sunday.